merciful, and compassionate. This is opposite of many in our world today, who are selfish, pride, full of hatred, hasty words, harshness, which when expressed, they have a short-lived pleasure and often more complications. And I believe the thing of non-resistance has been tested in all ages. And it is one that even in our day-to-day, it proves if we've been real with Jesus in our life and we are listening to his teachings and obeying them. But in a day of ease and plenty, like it was touched on earlier this morning, it is easy to start to think that the things that I have are mine and I got the right to it. I got to protect it. And no one better challenge it. But we know that the Bible says it's never changed. It's the same. Jesus still calls us to that high standard of living. It got to be more than that passive submission. He wants all of us to be a reflection of him while we go from day to day. Open your Bibles to Matthew 5. We'd like to read a few verses there from Jesus' words here. Matthew 5. We're going to read 38 to 48. We all know that this is how Jesus taught on love and retaliation here. Let's start begin it with verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? For ye do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I wish I could say these verses here have never been affected me. I wish these things would have never affected what we call the so-called Christian home or the Christian church. But whenever I allow my own carnality to have a little bit of room in my life, it's going to face this resistance. And we know resist is the root word of non-resistance. And this is, the resistance is also the opposite of non-resistance. It means to be in opposition to fight against, to oppose. That's human. That is the nature that every one of us has had to deal with. It has affected, like I said, every generation. So this morning, I think this is a very practical subject because of our own nature. And I'd like to focus mainly on the home this morning. Because I believe if this is lost in our homes, it's going to affect the churches and the communities around us. Brother Steve said this statement, I don't know when, but it always stuck with me. says, give me good homes and we will have good churches. Give me good churches and we will have good communities. So the world needs you and I this morning to have strong Christian homes in teaching this thing of non-resistance. We can't expect our young folks to go to Bible school, or those that just came back, to have taken this thing of non-resistance and now they know, and yep, it was good for you to take that class. And if they didn't learn it before they got there, there's a good chance in life, there's a good possibility that they will never learn it if they didn't learn it as a child. This morning we heard of people who put on, in the Sunday school lesson, about people who put on a mask, or didn't use a mask of the Christian life, but who live as it appears to that they're upright people. But inside there's life is full of self. And non-resistant is not held up high. They go for what they can get out of things. Again, this morning, speaking about my own human nature, what I tend to struggle with. And this is one area where we need to realize that we don't always have it all put together. We don't always know how to stack. We don't have everything stacked the way it should be in our minds. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 implies that if therefore to let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we think we have everything figured out and we have everything categorized and this is the way it is, and everybody needs to come underneath this standard and everything will be well. If we have that, we're going to be setting ourselves up to facing challenges. Again, we think of the home. We live in a world that all has all manner of people and all kinds of them. There's some that are very strange. And there's very wicked people. Some are foolish. And there seems to be few that are wise. But out of the sea of people, each one of us, or not each one of us, many of us, has seen somebody that fit the picture. Someone that was of our dreams. And as you dated, finally got married, and life was good. You had it all put together. And then what? My wife and I, we have been married a few years. The honeymoon shine is almost a memory. We're in the normal routine of family life, raising the family, trying to meet their needs, trying to provide for them, and endeavoring to fill the place God called us to. Life is just pretty humdrum. You wake up, go do through the day. Try to take life in stride. But really that's where life, the Christian life, is enjoyable. Finding fulfillment in the daily routine, in the humdrum. But this is where this thing of non-resistance is tested. In these normal routines where these little things come up that we didn't plan on, now what? Children can bring some of this frustration on at times. Right now we're studying in Winter Bible School in the class here in the auditorium, God's Word on marriage relationships. And to many of us, it's enriching. It's good to look into this study. But if you were probably married a few years, it's good, but it's not really important. But as you go through life, and where the joys and sorrows and expectations aren't met, this is real. Home life is real. This thing of non-resistant is tested in these areas. The devil loves to get resistance between any two people, whether it's husband or wife, brothers and sisters. Within the church, within the community. He loves when he can get two opposing sides to go against each other. And thinking of the home, when husband and wife are at, aren't agreeing on a subject or an issue, and someone's going to have to give in. Someone's going to have to be, that don't sound right, don't want to give in, but hopefully you get what I'm trying to say there. If it continues on, it will be infect or affect the younger ones. And that will bear fruit. And this is where, it's in these times where children begin to form or put things in categories, what kind of behavior, when do you respond this way, when do you respond that way? And it's because they are watching and observing their parents work through, I might say, difficult problems or even small things, small issues. If it's like, if we as husbands are like, that's tough, this is the way it's going to be, and we rule with an iron fist, you might say, we are setting the tone in these little ones' lives. This is where this might call it in our children's lives, this is the seed bed for these hurts to form, and where resistance to our authority begins. The devil wants this, but the Bible says different. Romans 12, turn to Romans 12. Verse 17 to 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of God, in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This morning, parents, if we respond carelessly to the hurts that we experience or the misunderstandings, and our children see our response to them, we have just exposed to them that we are more important than the others. And again, these are tested in small ways, in these insignificant ways almost, where things are neither right nor wrong. Am I willing to look at, honestly, at Matthew 5 there, verse 41, about going the extra mile? Or do I think I have to stand on what I know and what I prefer? This is where non-resistance again is tested. When I think I have went the extra mile, am I willing to go one more? Am I willing to humbly follow Jesus' teachings? like I said, in this marriage class here at Winter Bible School, there's many times looking at that lesson where we think of differences of how husband and wives, how they think, how our thinking's different. And yes, my wife and I have different thinking at times. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different communities. We come from with different convictions. And I heard of individuals fussing about the toothpaste tube and all that stuff. And that has never been an issue in our life, how that all pans out. But there is things in this life, in our day, that annoy me. But how do I look at them? How do I express them? What will I do with it when I see it? Will I talk about it to whoever? Will I grumble how stupid it is? Will my children hear me complaining about it? That they should never do it that way. If I do so, I just turn to Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If I walk around complaining, telling others how foolish it is and all that, Philippians 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. If I go around and speak about things, how I wouldn't do them and how wrong it is and how ridiculous, am I doing what these verses are telling me to do? Esteem others better than myself. These little actions are what cripples homes and cripples churches today. The impatience and shortness. They are not acts of non-resistance. Again, these are little children forming. Little children are homes who are patterning their lives after our actions. Again, it was good for me to look into this subject and because I have room to grow. If we as parents tolerate this kind of behavior, our children will magnify it. I always enjoyed children, and I love to observe them, just watching them. And it, I always didn't watch them for the right reason. I enjoyed watching children getting scraps and seeing how their parents react or how they handle it. That has been changing because I have little ones growing up now. But again, how are we as parents responding when we see these reflections of self in our children? This is the battle line. This is where we're facing, or this is the time to teach these little ones. We have all had that nature within us and can still battle it as we have grown older. If an infant is uncomfortable, he will let you know. If a young child has a toy that is his, he'll sure to let you know. And how often do these little ones grow up and never lose or conquer that nature? And our communities and our churches deal with it. No, it's not always shame on them. Could it be shame on us? I think every person is responsible for their own actions. But we as parents do bear responsibility in teaching these little ones, in training them. The Bible commands us to train up the children the way he should go. if we fail to help bring our children to the end of themselves. These young lives, they will bear fruit to our neglect. And it's sad. It's very sad. There's verses in Proverbs that give the fruit of it, what it will cause, what it will bring. And it's not one of joy, it's one of sorrow, it's one of grief. And also we as fathers won't be able to teach our children this pattern of non-resistant if we don't have it ourselves. We can fly underneath the radar we can have to the community around us like we have it all put together, but in our homes there can be turmoil. This is a phrase I hope I never forget. Our little ones learn more from our example than from what we teach them, from our words. They are watching us. How easy for us as parents to give instructions to our little ones, and they try, and they come back, and they say, I don't know how. That can be a test on this very subject of non-resistant. How will I respond to that? Well, I told you, and we become short with them, and we become impatient, said, I do it. And I know children's makeups are different. Some take more, some catch on faster than others. I'm aware of that. But these tests come in little incidents. If I continually don't have the time to, okay, if I give a command or whatever to go do something to, and they come back and say, I don't know how, and I become impatient and short with them, and if that's the normal, I crush that child's heart over and over again, and that child begins to form a way of life, a mentality. And he understands who comes first in my life. He knows that I'm more important than they are. And that life becomes a way an animal lives. There's a pecking order. We have goats at our place, and we all know how the nature of a goat. There's pecking orders. You feed them, there's one that runs the trough. There's others that get out of the way. But how often do we see animal activity in humans? There's nothing like a chain of command in the Christian life. The Bible tells us there's a head, which is God, and we are the body. And it is so beautiful if we somehow can always keep that in our minds. We as dads need to observe our children because they are a reflection of who we are. How do they act and respond to others in their circle? What are the teachers saying about them? We as fathers need to take personal interest in each of these little lives. They, after all, they are a fruit of our love. And we dare not let it spoil. They have a road ahead of them. Their influence will continue. Our influence will continue through them. We need to take time when they're still young and teachable. And they want to please us. Little children love to please their parents. And we dare not push them away, or we dare not let them know that they're a bother to our life. Because the longer we push this opportunity off, the harder it will be to change them later. if we have forced them to fend for themselves and to hold their own rule, most likely that's what they will do the rest of their life. It's a life that's set up for disappointments, for hard knocks, for, I know God's grace and God can change individuals. I'm not saying that it always works that way. And these natural responses in children, like I said, are often selfishness. And selfishness is the root or the, if we can deal with that nature, this thing of non-resistance will, if we help our children with this, the non-resistant principle, the basis of it was taught at a young age. Parents, we can't allow unacceptable behavior. We got to classify it as that. We can't allow our children to pout around. We can't allow them to be, now when I say dominant, or there's children who have more of that personality than others. But we don't want, maybe I should say using the bullies, like people who are out front, continually pushing their way. We can't allow that. We can't allow talking back or resisting authority. They learn it at a very young age, that little two-letter word, no. We have a little fellow at our house who is very free, you might say. He has learned that word recently, is to say no, no. It's simple. It's easily said. I believe Darv said, was it last Sunday? Sometimes it's almost cute. But again, we got to see it as resistance to what authority has said. We can't allow insulting speech. Because if we allow these things, if we let this thing become a pattern of our children, it becomes, and we let it go unchecked, it becomes a way of life. Yes, we as fathers can say the truth in very insulting ways, to put others down, to pick ourselves up. If we teach this, if we help our little ones conquer this nature of selfishness at a young age, I believe it does bring us joy. Later on, as we see the little ones sacrificing for others and following Jesus' teachings. And that's something that you can't put on, you can't buy. It's priceless. This thing of non-resistance. There's a saying I heard recently. It says, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. And this is what non-resistant is. It's a way of life. It's not something we can teach. It's living by preaching and teaching without words. Our children observe our lives. They can help sort through that. And as we not sort through it, they can see it. Non-resistant is not trying to humiliate others, but giving it to God and letting Him do the work. And the best way for us parents to do that is to teach and live by example. 1 Peter 3, let's turn to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3:8-17. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and sue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Again, we see living by example. We're setting an example to our little ones. And we see our little ones sometimes squabbling with the things they love. And it's the little toy issue with friends. You know, you see a little child not wanting to give up, not wanting to share. But how often are we as parents willing to share and help others with what we claim is ours? This is my stuff. Really, we know that everything is God's. We have that knowledge that we know everything we have, everything we see is our Lord's. But do we always live that way? Again, we talked earlier about in the land of plenty, with everything we have around us, where our wants and desires, those wants and desires we personally fulfill and accomplish, how tight do we have them in our control? Our vehicles, our tools, our businesses, our toys. Do we see them as God's, or do we see them as ourselves? Do our children see us trying to hold on to them and control them, and, you know, this is mine and nobody ever? We let very little interfere with what we love. Our businesses, recreation, whatever it may be. There's times in my wife and I used to travel around more than we do now, but going to mountain grounds and stuff, you see, most times we rented from so-called conservative people. And we see signs like, do not enter, keep out. We see posted signs, no trespassing signs. Private property. And many times, individuals just wanted to take care of what they had. They, you know, they want to be responsible. They don't want someone getting hurt. And we live in a land of lawsuits and all that. But they post signs. It says, no hunting, no fishing, trapping. Trespassing strictly forbidden. Violators will be prosecuted. Is that non-resistance? Is that upholding the testimony of Jesus Christ? Do our little ones understand that we wouldn't prosecute? Why have the sign? Keep out. What are you going to do if someone don't? There's a, working out the mill, there's an electrical room that I hope no one ever goes in. because, yeah, there's high voltage in there. And so I got a sign a while ago. It said, I think it says employees only. I don't think it says keep out. But it says a precaution to not let anyone ever in there. If someone goes in there and gets hurt, the law would look at, well, where's the sign? There's times when we do have to look for the safety of others, or how the law would look at us if we don't take precaution. I'm aware of that. But if I would find someone in there, what would I do? I shouldn't say if I find some. If Neil finds somebody in there, what would he do? Does the world see us as peaceable, non-resistant people? Or am I trying hard to protect what's mine? Again, we're living by example. Our children are watching us. There's things that we want in our control. The things we're trying to protect. How can I explain that to my young son? As he knows that it was always posted and, or whatever that sign read, would he know that I would give that individual an earful if I find him there? Or would I give him an off-the-cuff answer? Oh, it's good business ethics and it's just the way we do it. We wouldn't press charges. We as brethren, our everyday life possibly could use some straightening up at times. Our wives are continually, you might say, a visual. Okay, they're covering. It sets them apart. But we as brethren, how often would we respond different if our wives were standing with us? Or if they were driving down the road with us, and it would be an ever witness to the world that we are a separate people. We don't act this way. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So if someone trespasses against what I thought I was very clear at explaining or showing, how will I respond? I know we live in a corrupt world. And like I said, the thing of lawsuits and human rights, it's hard to know how to sort through some of them at times. But as we look, as we face these situations and look into God's word and not on our own strength, our little ones will see it. A testimony will go forth. Our children realize how we deal with our passerbyers, those that rub us the wrong way. And I believe this is also the very reason why the churches of today are facing sometimes rocking challenges. People who are willing to fend for self and not willing to be non-resistant and giving it to God, not esteeming others better than themselves. Pride and resistance and contention destroys, but humility and non-resistant heals. So as we relate to hurts and frustrations in our homes and in the churches, how do we explain this to our children? They read us better than we know at times. And that's something I'm becoming more and more aware of. I wasn't aware of that but until our children start getting older. I know others have said that many a times, but recently that has been listening to their words and the things they say, they see more in me than I thought. But as I live my life, this can be a making or breaking impression to them for the good of others. As I reflect or as I respond to these difficult experiences at times. Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man and to be no brawler. That means no fighter or quarreler or disputer, but be gentle, showing meekness unto all men. That's a non-resistant way of life. Putting the best others first. Helping our young ones see that serving the Christian life is not one of self. It's not one of my agenda. It's not one of my plans or what I have is God's. It's teaching them that. This morning, where are you drawing your line and unresistant from? Where's the line? Where are you directing your home? What do you see as, what do you allow in your young ones? I trust it's more than passive submission. Just tolerating it. If we just tolerate, our little ones will know. And it will grow. But also, if we live by the word of God, others will know as well. So that's my prayer and desire for my life and yours. Let's continue to look into the word. It's the way of life. There ain't no other way. And as we give ourselves fully to it, he will continue to show us and direct us. Let's kneel for prayer.